Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, coming to you from Kenya. It's starting to rain. What we call the short rains start in September, October, and November. And so we have a rainy season that we can plant maize and plant beans again. And so that is what is happening now. The people are all out in the fields planting. And so we have our Shamba planted to maize and beans and groundnuts, peanuts, and sweet potatoes. We have a lot of different vegetables planted for the children. We have about 34 children now at the children's home, and we are providing a good home for them. We have to get them food and shelter and clothing and school fees. Some of them are in secondary school or high school, we would say in America, and their school fees are quite expensive. They don't have really free public education here in Kenya. There's really no free education for anybody here in Kenya. Even the primary school kids pay some fees, and so it's very difficult when you have a whole bunch of children that you're paying fees for. It becomes quite a burden. So I would ask for your prayers and your support to send these children to school, to keep them going in school, because education can be, as we all know in America, education can be a great ticket out of poverty. It can be a ticket to a better lifestyle, a higher lifestyle, and also a ticket to just more wisdom and opportunity in life. So pray about your support for that. We recently conducted a crusade in Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. Just got back last week. We had 200 salvation decisions with the older children and adults, and we had many people delivered of witchcraft demons. Many people got healing. One lady who was blind when she came to the crusade, the Lord gave her sight, and that was a mighty miracle. We had another lady who had not been able to eat. She could not keep food down, and she had a real struggle maintaining her life, and so God gave her a healing. He touched her, so she was able to eat then after that, keep the food down, and she felt like God really gave her a healing. So many miraculous healings, many deliverances, and so you'll have to come to a crusade with us sometime. You'll see it for yourself. It's hard to explain all of that, and some of the people in America, their theology doesn't allow it to be explained very well anyway, but it's common thing here in Africa for people to be delivered of witchcraft demons. And so you'll just have to come see it for yourself sometime. And if you see it, you'll believe it. Well, we thank the Lord for this day. If you turn to Matthew 24, we're going to talk about the end times. And the Lord has put this on my heart to preach about this, speak about this week, because of the events of the last couple of weeks. We're seeing the rise of terrorist organizations around the world. Primarily, I'm speaking, of course, of the events of Afghanistan. And now that we have exited from Afghanistan, there's no doubt in my mind that terrorist organizations are going to be emboldened. They're going to be taking a front and center stage place on the world stage. And so this is going to create a lot of scenarios where the spirit of the Antichrist will be rising up, and I say that as a believer who knows about the end time scenarios spoken of in the Bible. I've studied a lot about eschatology, end time scenarios, and so I know that the stage, the platform, has to be set up for the Antichrist before the end time events all take place. And the Antichrist will take his place in Israel, and he will go into the temple and defile the temple. All of that is another message. But Jesus gave us some signs to be looking for in the end times. And so I think we can safely say that some of these end time events and some of these end time signs are currently very obvious and very front and center for us to see and to prepare ourselves. Now, I want to caution everybody, and don't go saying, Jim is saying that Jesus is going to come back on October 13th, 2021 or 2000. No, I'm not setting a date, and don't you do that either. When Jesus was speaking about end time events, he said in Matthew 24:36, He said, of that day and hour, he's speaking of the day and hour when he returned. He said in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. And so Jesus said, don't waste your time setting dates. People periodically do that. They get a big platform and they get off on the deep end and they try to set a date. And it's happened many times in the history of the U.S. and other countries as well, that some preacher tries to set the date and puts everybody in a big scare and puts everybody in a paralysis, and they start to sell their belongings and give this preacher big money. The pattern has replicated itself many times over the past. And so don't get in a tizzy about all this. What you need to do is watch and pray. Beloved, watch and pray so that whatever day Jesus comes back, and Jesus said, I don't even know myself, only the Father knows. So you can pray to Jesus and have him reveal the date to you, and he can't, because he himself does not even know. He is at the right hand of God. He is sitting at the right hand of God. This is the church age. This is the time of the harvest. This is the time we're supposed to be out in the vineyard laboring for the kingdom and bringing people in to the kingdom of God. And if you're not doing that, that's what it means. Watch and pray. Yes, sometimes you just have to sit in your closet, in your prayer closet, and pray. But sometimes you need to get out and do what the Lord has you to do to bring people into the kingdom, bring people into the harvest. And if you'll do that, then it doesn't matter what day Jesus decides to come back. You will be ready, you will be raptured, and you will know that your time is the time, and it's the right time. And so you don't have to worry about Jesus' time. You just worry about your time and prepare yourself for the rapture and prepare yourself for the second coming of the Lord. Well, back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and it said, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And so Jesus then starts to talk about the signs, and so that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to talk about the signs, and so we can look at what Jesus said, compare it to what we see happening on the world stage today, and say, does anything we see out there on the world stage, does it look like what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24? Well, I think we'll be able to safely say there are some things happening that will make us believe the end time is here. Chapter 24, verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Well, that is one of the signs of the end times. There will be false prophets. There will be people claiming to be Jesus. There will be people claiming to have certain supernatural powers. And I'm not talking about the power of God. When I talk about the power of God, I'm talking about the power of God and not powers of Jim or powers of any particular preacher. But there will be false prophets, and they will be claiming to be Jesus. They will be claiming to have supernatural powers that will be given to them by the devil. And so there are some people out there preaching today. I'm not going to name any names. There are some people out there preaching today who claim to be Jesus. And so that is one of the first signs. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Well, of course, we have wars and we have rumors of wars. You could say there's a war going on in Afghanistan right now. We have been a part of a war over there for 20 years, and we are currently exited off of that stage in Afghanistan. We are currently disengaged. off of that stage. But the war is certainly not over there. The war is certainly not over with the enemy that we have been engaged with. When you start looking at the terrorist organizations around the world, Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all of these organizations are all in bed with each other. They all are in agreement with each other. They all have the spirit of the Antichrist. They all have the spirit of death and destruction. And so we are engaged in that war. And just because our troops have left Afghanistan does not mean that we are not engaged in that war. We certainly are. And here in Kenya, we have Al-Shabaab, which are first cousins of Al-Qaeda and funded by Al-Qaeda. And so Al-Shabaab has done a lot of destructive things here in Kenya. They've done a lot of destruction. They blew up, the Al-Qaeda blew up the U.S. Embassy here back in the 90s and killed nearly 300 people. They blew up the U.S. Embassy in Tanzania and killed many people. And we still, to this day, just a year or two ago, we had a hotel blown up in downtown Nairobi. It killed many people. And so Al-Shabaab is a constant threat. And so we have wars and rumors of wars. There's a war going on in Ethiopia, and there's another rebel war going on over in Northeast Congo around Beni. And so we have wars and rumors of wars. Look around the world. That is a common feature of the end time events. And Jesus said, "See to it that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Well, Jesus said that because it's very easy when you watch the news reports every day and focus on the news that you're going to get troubled. Your spirit will start to get a lot of trouble and a lot of strife, and you will not sleep well. You will not have peace. And so I encourage you, you have to turn off the natural news. You have to turn off the earthly news and get revelation from Jesus. Get revelation from God, and you will have peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Beloved, if you want peace, you have to spend time with the peace giver. If you want peace in your heart and in your life, you have to turn off the natural news, the bad news, the sad news, and you have to get with the Lord in prayer, and you have to get with the Lord in Bible study. And you have to find that peace that only Jesus can give, because the world cannot give peace to you. The world doesn't have peace to give. The world has strife, it has turmoil, it has chaos, it has mayhem, it has wars and rumors of wars. And if that's all you're feeding your spirit is not going to have peace. You're going to have trouble, and you will be anxious. Because every day when you turn on the news, it's just going to be a repeating story of wars, rumors of wars, chaos, and mayhem. And so Jesus said, "See to it that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Well, he's saying, don't get troubled over it. And I know that's easier said than done, but don't get troubled over it. Keep focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on the work He has you to do. Keep your focus on watching and praying. And don't let the circumstances of the age, don't let the circumstances on the world stage take you down and make you anxious, and you start reaching for the anti-anxiety pills and the anti-stress pills and the anti-depression pills. Pick up your Bible and read it. Get in your prayer closet and pray, and then the end will come. Okay, in verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places." Well, that's another sign then of the end times. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Well, I think you can check this out on the internet. You can check it out, but the recorded number of earthquakes has increased dramatically, not only in the U.S. but across the world. The recorded number of earthquakes has increased, and so there's more earthquakes as far as pestilence goes. You could certainly say that COVID-19 and all the variants, the Delta variant and all the variants of COVID virus are definitely a pestilence. It's a worldwide pandemic that is causing not only anxiety but death. And I won't go into all of the things that I believe about the COVID virus or the response to it, but I'm saying that this is from the devil. This I know, it is from the devil. It has been released from the pit of hell, this virus. It came out of China. That should tell you something about it. But it is a pestilence that has been released, and it's all across the world. It is causing great anxiety. People here in Kenya have died, and many, many people in America, you know, have died, and people here in Kenya have been killed by the police because they didn't get into their house at 5 minutes past 7 or 5 minutes past 10 or whatever the curfew time was. And people in Kenya here have also been hit over the head by the police because they didn't have their mask up over their nose. And so it has caused a great amount of angst, a great amount of turmoil and trauma and even death from this COVID virus. So the pestilence is definitely of the earth and on the earth and in the earth, and we're not finished with it yet. But I want to say in regard to that we just returned, you heard me say we just returned from Tanzania, and 2 weeks ago we were down there for a week, and it's my fourth trip into Tanzania since this COVID virus outbreak happened. When you go across the border in Tanzania, you just throw your mask away, and there's no recognition or no submission of the coronavirus. You see about 1 in 1,000 or maybe 1 in 10,000 people that actually have a mask on once you get in the country, and there's virtually no recognition of coronavirus once you get into Tanzania. Now you say, why is that? How can that be? Does God just stop the virus at the border? How did this happen that Tanzania has no anxiety and no trauma from this virus, but everywhere else in the world, it seems to be causing all kinds of havoc? Well, when President John Magufuli first encountered coronavirus in February or March in 2020, he told the people of Tanzania, go to the houses of prayer. Not just the Christian houses, but there's many Muslims in Tanzania, and he told them to go to your house of prayer. And he said, pray that God will take this virus away from us. Pray that we will have health and strength, so that we will not submit to this virus. We will not let it alter the course of events in this country. We will not let it alter our routines in this country. I'm telling you, don't stay away from the churches. Don't social distance. Go to the churches and pray. And that's what the people did. They went for 3 days and prayed and fasted at the very beginning of this COVID virus episode. And as a result, I believe God answered their prayer. And John Magufuli was a man of great faith, and the Lord answered his prayer and the prayers of the saints there in Tanzania, and they have not been bothered and tormented by this coronavirus. Now, I know there are some sicknesses and some deaths, but they're not even recording them as far as I know. But God has relieved them of the torment from this pestilence, and so their routines and their lives in Tanzania have not been disrupted. Well, pray about that and compare that to the response of the other nations of the world, where they said to the people, stay away from the churches, stay away, we don't want you to pray in the churches, we don't want you to come together. And so the people in other countries, I believe, are reaping what they have sown. Well, besides famines and pestilences and earthquakes, the famines here in Kenya are very significant. We have 13 or 14 counties in Kenya, which is about a fourth of the counties in Kenya, where they have now famine of great degree. People are getting aid. It's been very dry in these places, and people are getting aid. They don't have food. They don't have water for their livestock. They don't have food to feed their children. And so it's becoming a humanitarian crisis. You don't hear about it yet because it's not on a massive, massive scale, but it's a fourth of the country here in Kenya that is now in famine. And we could possibly be looking at that in America. We have great dry places and great drought and wildfires all across a great part of the West. California reservoirs and rivers dried up for the most part in many places. Mount Shasta is without any snow on top of the mountain, and I climbed that mountain twice years ago, and there's no snow, there's no ice, there's great glaciers on top of that mountain when I climbed it, and it is completely bare, completely brown and dry on top of that mountain now. And so there's a possibility that there could be famine, there could be broken chains in the food supply, and so prepare for that as you think about the future in the USA. And then Jesus goes on to say, all of these things, verse 8, all of these things are the beginning of sorrows. And so, yes, we have sorrow. Many people committing suicide. And I pray if that's you, you having thoughts of ending your life, you pray to Jesus, you contact me and I will pray with you. Pray to Jesus to bring you encouragement. Maybe you need job opportunity. Maybe you just need fresh outlook on life that Jesus can give you. And you pray about that and God will deliver you from those thoughts of suicide. And then it goes on to say in verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. This isn't the great tribulation of the book of Revelation. This is just tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Well, that's certainly a hallmark of the end times, that we have persecution. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be persecuted. And so be prepared for that. I can see the day coming when Christians will actually be rounded up and placed in internment camps. And 20 years ago, I thought that would be the most far-fetched, impossible thing to ever come to pass in the USA, and wouldn't even conceive of the idea. But I can see that day coming. I think it's a possibility. And so that day is not that far away when you will be persecuted, you will be delivered up, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and they will betray one another and will hate one another. Well, that's a hallmark of the end times, betrayal. People will be offended by each other. They'll be offended by Jesus Christ. They'll be offended by the cross. They'll be offended by the Word of God. And so there will be all kinds of betrayal and people will hate one another. And then in verse 11, he says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Well, one of the hallmarks of the end times is lawlessness. We see that happening, unfolding in the USA today. Many people, of course, are packing guns, probably a majority of the people in America. And so people are targeting police, they're targeting each other. The mayhem and chaos in certain cities in America is absolutely unthinkable and unspeakable. People shooting each other. The police can't even go into some areas of cities because they're outnumbered by the gangs, and the gangs are all well armed and taking it out on anybody that gets in their way. And so this is a hallmark of the end times, is the lawlessness, just not only on a personal scale and the mayhem on a personal level, but also the lawlessness of governments. Governments many times disregard the rule of law, and so they make all kinds of crazy decisions with no support from the Word of God, no wisdom from the Word of God. And so you see lawlessness unfolding on a worldwide scale. I could tell you about it here in Kenya, and it would shock you, the corruption and lawlessness going on here in this country. Well, we got a little bit into this subject. I'm going to take it up more next week, but I want you to pray. We're going to be talking more next week about watch and pray, because that is our stance, that is our position, that is where we're supposed to be as the end time scenarios unfold. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, for the support and the prayers that we have had over many years. And I thank the Lord if you have been touched and you have been blessed by this message or any messages we've spoken in the past, you would consider supporting this ministry. We also have a lot of projects going in Africa, the Children's Home and the Crusades, and we have a great church going in Makunda here in Kenya as well. So I ask you to pray about your part in supporting these projects, supporting this ministry. All your donations are tax deductible. We are a 501c3 nonprofit entity, and so your donations are tax deductible. And so we would appreciate your support. Pray about your part in helping this ministry move the kingdom of God forward in Africa and across the land through this radio broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.